About those glasses. Different story this evening. There is treatment, not by a doctor, but by over-the-counter remedies. So we're talking about faith this evening. To thank Lenny for asking me to do this. And this is the topic that we're covering, is faith. Yes, true. As was said this morning, faith can move mountains. Literally, haven't seen it done. Figuratively within, yes, faith can move mountains. I'm grateful to Larry for the building up of faith that he has produced in showing so much of what is called the Holy Land. How that is very inspiring. If you've been to a very ancient place, there's a surreal feeling that you get from anybody ever done that. Been to an old place. Went to Tulum. It's right by Chichen Itza in Mexico, where the pyramids are. Some of the pyramids. There's actually pyramids in Bosnia, also bigger than the Giza pyramid. Anyway. And when you look at something ancient, it's quite something to behold. And seeing this in person, it would be awesome. And hopefully James and his company will get a lot out of it. And may that conjure up a strength within you, a faith that will not yield throughout your lifetime. I remember one man that I loved as a brother. He grew up in the church, kind of complaining that throughout his life he had wished that he could have found Christ later in life and gained more of an interest. Little did he know that he would not be living at this time, even though he's younger than I am, because he had a skateboard accident and he hit his head so hard he didn't recover from it. You never know what the Lord will give you. So we can be grateful for this time now. Maybe your mind is elsewhere. Maybe it's here. Of course it's here. That's why you're here, right? To glorify the Lord by deeds and actions. It's called faith. We can see faith right here. Faith is a kind of a trust, isn't it? When we go to a zoo, we can see a trust in certain plexiglass, certain containment of the animals. If we maybe approach, get close, but we don't put trust in the animals themselves, do we? Although some have tried, and it hasn't turned out so well for them. Like the man who wanted to pet the lions. Wasn't so good for him. What do you think they were praying for when Peter was in prison? Oh, don't you just love Peter? I just love Peter. He's so fantastic. The dark hour of darkness was upon all of that setting in Jerusalem when he denied Christ. But oh, when he come back, he was so faithful. He went through so much for the cause of Christ since he was gathered by Christ from fishing boats, and then later on he would also fish even when Jesus had ascended. I mean, not ascended, but it was resurrected. Peter was still involved with the cause of Christ and would later give his life for the cause. It was Peter who said to Jesus, after he said, "Who touched me?" He said, "The multitudes throng you." And you say, "Who touched me?" It was Peter who drew his sword, cut off Malchus's ear. It was Peter who knocked at the door and Rhoda answered the door. What do you think they were praying for? They were maybe praying for the release of Peter, and there he was. So be careful what one prays for, because they just might get it. Believing what you hear. You always believe what you hear? Probably not. If we could go back to the account of the Titanic after that had happened. It hit the ice. One man, according to his own words, if you look into the accounts of the Titanic, it's very interesting. From the actual people, some of them have passed, so you can go back and listen to their interviews. One man said, "Hey, get out." He went to a bunkhouse. Get out. It's going down. And someone threw a boot at him. "Get out of here. We know this ship can't sink." It was considered unsinkable. Did it sink? Yes, it did. There was another lady who was aboard the ship. And when that had happened, that being when the ship had hit the iceberg, she didn't want to know what it was. This is according to actual witness accounts. There are people who were actually on the ship. She didn't want to know what it was. She knew that it was going to be bad on that trip. She had begged her husband not to go. Let's not go on this trip. But she was persuaded to go along anyway with her daughter, who gave accounts. And when it had happened, she said she didn't want to know what it was. She just knew that it was it. Kind of creepy, huh? Anyway, heeding the warning, no one listened to her before they embarked on this trip. So it turned out that the young girl and her mother that were saved, but the father had perished. How many times was Jesus really believed? When he went in to a girl who was reported to be dead, and said, "She's not dead, she's just sleeping." He laughed him to scorn. "Man, what is wrong with you? Is she dead?" And then it wasn't long until he had raised her, presented her to her mother and said, "Give her something to eat." Wonder if the demeanor of those who had mocked him changed very much. We can see faith around us. It can be felt. There's feelings. We can feel it. See this? You know what this is? They're magnets. As the church, if there's someone who is indifferent, it's going to cause all kind of havoc. The church is not going to be unified. And I'm very grateful for what the elders once did here. They had to release somebody from attending here because of the problems that person was causing. Is that so? Yes. Belittling others. Now, you don't even take a thought against a fellow church member. It's just wise not to. And you certainly don't want to the Lord says, do not speak against one another. For he who speaks against a brother judges his brother and speaks against the law. But if you are a judge of the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. See the unity when the people are based. Let you all be of one mind, of one accord. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Recall the face of the woman who had an issue, and she thought, if only I touched the hem of this garment, I shall be made well. That was when Peter said, Master, the multitude throng you, and you say, who touched me? We don't really know the manner in which Peter directed that statement. So it sounds kind of different than the one in Mark. And for that, she was made well in the very hour. Many such things you say and do, Jesus said. Anybody watch, let him not watch. Not anymore, he once had a TV show. Didn't last long, but he's been on the radio for a long time, Michael Savage. He was kind of knocking those who would kiss the wall. The wailing wall. And rightly so. There are some acts that we would consider repulsive that is done in a Jewish faith. I won't even mention it. It has to do with babies when they're circumcised. They mean well, but such things, Jesus said in Mark 7, such things you say and do. Things you say and do can show your faith. I was downtown in Eugene one morning, close to the university there, and a guy had colored chalk, real thick stuff, writing, impeach Trump. Trump this, everything negative. I said, what's wrong with you? I ought to call the police. Call the police. So I did, because I wanted to see what the police would do. What do you think the Eugene police did?
Nothing.
Exactly. The person, after a busy signal, the person said, after the first call, it was busy. Second call, called again, and the person said, it's freedom of speech. It's freedom of speech to go around sidewalks and write all this. I doubt at the last presidency if it had been the same thing said on the phone. Maybe so. I think very highly of our president. We're supposed to honor those who are, as governors, who look out for us. So regardless of who they are, they still need to be honored to some extent, even though some of them do tremendous evil. And we're still facing the repercussion of that. Before the rooster crows, how many times? You will deny me how many times? Three. So two and three. There's Peter again. Lord, I will go with you unto death. And they all said the same. Yet when it comes time to keep our faith, profess our faith, do we keep it? Some did. Look in Hebrews 11 where some refused. They'd rather face the lions. Of course, Paul compelled some to blaspheme. Those poor Christians there, they were compelled to blaspheme. They must have really felt bad if they survived, if they lived afterwards. Do we keep our faith? I hope so. Especially the young ones. That you would not be like that person I know, kind of complaining about, oh, I've been in the church so long. No, you persevere. Day by day by day, just like your accounts in your life. You don't live them all at once. But every day. And those of a faith, of the faith, do not have an anxious mind. Jesus said, do not be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now Jesus said, don't be distressed. Or stressed. As an anxious mind, was he distressed before he went to the cross? Yes, because he knew what it was going to be like. And he had every right to be distressed about that. It's a good thing we don't have to bear the cross. Well, we do bear the cross, actually, in our lives, but not literally. Now it may be said, we deserve to be on the cross. We do. What do we do so bad that we should be on the cross? Sin? Yes, but what matters? Some sins are greater than others. I really don't believe that we should be on the cross. That's all right. Disagree if you want to. Yeah, it's fine to disagree about that. Maybe deserving of death? Yeah? Okay. We can be thankful that the Lord doesn't have us go through that measure. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him. He who believes on him, will by no means be put to shame. So, the martyrs in Christ, were they put to shame? Was it shameful that they died? No. Stephen, have you listened to and read the account of Stephen? Starts off kind of slow and gradually. And then tells the people of their rebellious nature and of their rebellious father. You go talking about somebody's kin, that's going to get pretty heated. And then they stoned him. Oh, that hurt. Now, I remember a kid, just like Larry had somebody spit in his ear. As a kid, some kid threw a rock and hit me in the head. Oh. That was my mother got rather mad at that. We were real young, like Seth's age. And so we went over to the neighbor's house nearby, and she would discuss how this boy was involved in a car accident. Yeah, it's running around a church building and a car mirror hit my head. So, been normal, but anyway. But Stephen was stoned at him. Ouch. And what did he say? What manner of faith was this? He said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And Jesus when he was on the cross, said, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And that's very true. They did not know what they were doing. Many were pierced, cut to the heart, and received the message that the apostles had. And they were baptized into Christ. Remember the mikvahs that Larry had talked about, how many were excavated, how many could be baptized, maybe 3,000 in 90 minutes. True. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. I went to a Billy Graham crusade a long time ago at Tampa, Florida, and thought, this is going to be easy to convince some of these people. But the Bible says, and I went down there, you know, when they all sing Amazing Grace, I went down there and started talking to some people, and it was said, you have to look at that verse, those who believe and are baptized will be saved. You have to break it down, and they had all these different measures of how you really don't have to be baptized to be saved. Is that right or wrong? Well, if you recall that movie of Jesus, was the Passion, the man who played that part, he said he had to get down to 160 some to be on the cross, and he had to have surgery because it did something to his lungs. Anyway, he appeared before a crowd of about 5,000 that watched it. And the first thing he said when he got on stage after a man said, I just shook the hand of Jesus, was, you all are saved. Now who would do that? I wouldn't say that here. I'm not a judge of anybody. Let's hope everyone is saved here. Of course, that's the object. That's the idea. Glorify God and be rewarded for it. But oh, faith, if it does not have works, what is it? What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, yet you do not give them what is necessary for their bodies, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And it also goes on to mention about Rahab. Or you can call her Rahab, that's fine. About her faith. What does she do? She received the messengers, who were called spies, and sent them out another way. Seen some excavations of Jericho, and believe that the wall is still standing where she probably let them down. So it takes faith to please the Lord, because we know that without faith, we are without hope. And that was a great class this morning. We are Christians, and we hold that name up high. What's in a name? Does a name mean anything? Everybody thinks so, yes. I tell you, we have neighbors called Ron and Sharon. That's our name. Ron and Sharon. But I also mentioned that we have neighbors Carl and Kathy. Yes, we do. But what's in a name? One is not the same as the other, that's for sure. Inquire who is worthy within the village that you go into, said the Lord, and who is not worthy. Who was worthy, more worthy, Simon? Who thought, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman who is doing this. And Jesus said to him, knowing his thoughts, is he clairvoyant? No, he is, yes. Simon, I will ask you one thing. When you allowed me in here, you gave me no greeting. This woman has not ceased to kiss my feet and to wipe my feet with her hair. I'm kind of paraphrasing. Thinking of this one. With fragrant oil. So the one who is forgiven much loves more than those who haven't been forgiven a lot. That was a perfect illustration of somebody's working faith. So we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't have angels to minister to us. Moses and Elijah are not going to appear to us. How did Peter, my man Peter, your man Peter, we all love Peter, right? He's a fellow brother. And we're going to see those people we read about. Can you hear that? Sounds like someone's back there, some water gurgling. And we're going to see those people in the Bible that we read about one day. Remember the preacher who was here that he was looking forward to seeing Rahab, Rahab the harlot. Now that's a loathsome occupation, yes, but she was a woman of faith. And if the Lord says your sins are forgiven you, your sins are forgiven you. So go about your lives living faithfully. You'll be better for it. And as usual, Carl's going to say something about memory. Yes, try to memorize the word as you can. It'll do you well. Because in some instances, you're in places where you can't really open up a book and read, or you can't use your laptop, or your iPad, your phone. It's good to memorize. If you can memorize something like that, a jingle, you can memorize something much better, the Word of God. Shall we stand and sing a song?